Genesis chapter 3, we'll be reading from verses 1 to 7. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die." The serpent said to the woman, "You surely will not die. For God said, God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and they made themselves loin coverings. Amen. Amen. So over the last few days, I've actually been spending quite a bit of time really contemplating the idea of sin, and what it means to be sinful, and what sin is. And partly it's because of Resurrection Sunday and you know, having Easter and whatnot. But a lot of it came from a conversation I was having with some friends of mine. And what we were talking about was, you know, certain sins that started to become much more taboo in the world. And I'm not going to be talking about it, obviously, because this is for another sermon or another time. But one of the things that we were talking about was specific about, you know, like sin, black and white sins, like the ones that are in the Ten Commandments. And then sins that aren't so black and white, but because they aren't in the Ten Commandments, such as homosexuality and whatnot. And it really came to my attention that a lot of times as Christians, we make our opinions based on a lack of understanding of God's word. And let me give you an understanding. Is I remember talking to this friend of mine, and they were expressing that they used to believe that certain things about God's word were very clear, right? So for example, stealing, thou shalt not steal, right? That's very clear, right? Thou shalt not murder, that's very clear. And then when we started getting to more other things, like how about, you know, streaming movies? Is that stealing? Is that not? Or, you know, and then ultimately we got into the idea of, hey, is homosexuality a sin? Well, it's not in the Ten Commandments, right? Well, the more I'm working with certain people or I'm with them, I realize, hey, maybe there's more area for gray and whatnot. And so I went home myself, right, and I started thinking and I started reading about it more. Because, I mean, more important, for me as a pastor, I want to make sure that I know God's word. And so when I'm preaching and whatnot, I can give a good idea of what it is. And, you know, I'm not leading you guys into sin and whatnot. But it really made me realize that as Christians, a lot of times our idea of God, our idea of what's right, our idea of sin really comes from our lack of understanding of God's word. And well, you know, this year being the year of word and power and authority, you know, this is really important. Why? Because the greatest sin, or the sin that leads to all of other sin, happens because of this one thing. In Genesis 3, the fall of man happens because Adam and Eve didn't have God's word in their heart. If we take a look at this story, right? Remember, God had already created earth. He had created everything from day 1 to 5, and then he created man. They were in perfect harmony with each other. There was no sin in the world. And God tells them one rule, one law, right? Look, you guys can do anything you want in this garden. You guys can, you know, eat of the trees and of the fruit. You can, you know, all the animals in this kingdom are basically yours. The only thing you cannot do is eat from or touch the fruit or eat from the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden. Just don't do that. Everything else you can do. And what happens? Satan comes, and the first thing he does is, knowing that God's word, he's already said it, what does he do? He twists God's word. So much so that Adam and Eve think, oh yeah, hey, maybe it's not such a bad idea, right? So what does he say to them? He says, look, did God say you're going to die? Surely you're not going to die. Well, this speaks to the very first thing, right, that I kind of want to talk about is this, right? Do we know God's word well enough that we really can live by it on an everyday basis? It's funny because I think as people, we spend so much time learning about the things that we like to learn about, right? I mean, obviously for work, we need to do it for work because work is important, right? We need to make sure that we do a good job and we're excellent. You know, we want to make sure that people see God's glory and you know, that praise the Father through us. And we spend so much time on it, and that's great, right? But then outside of work, what do? We also spend so much time on our hobbies. We spend time on our purchases. We spend time on researching all the things that we want to learn about, all these things. You know, and, you know, maybe for some of us, you know, we love cooking, and so we learn about cooking, right? Some of us love reality TV, so we watch a lot of reality TV, right? For me, myself, I love, you know, planes, cars, all these sort of things, and I read about them, what's new. Actually, I spent a lot of time reading about physics right now. I've been reading about what's one of the biggest, you know, CERN, the Hadron Collider in France. They've recently discovered that gravity may transcend different dimensions. Anyway, a nerdy thought for you. So I spent a lot of time reading about that stuff, but really, how much time as God's people? And remember, this is something we've put our faith in, meaning we are now changing our lives, right, to not accommodate, but to live according to a belief that God is good and God is the creator of the universe. And yet, if we're willing to change our lives for it, why don't we spend more time learning about it? Because if we don't, basically what we're doing is this. We are basing our life and what we do in our lives simply on what other people tell us. Right? And P. Sam's a great pastor. He's a great preacher. And he knows a lot about the word, right? And you're sitting here sitting there listening to me. And it's great. You know, I love preaching and I love giving the word and all these sort of things, the teaching. But really, as God's people, we should be studying it ourselves. We should be knowing it ourselves so well that when we know the enemy is going to come, we know he's going to attack, that when he does, we know it. No, that's not what God meant, right? But this is the very interesting thing, right? What man cannot do and did not do, God did. Let me give you an example, right? Remember, this is the greatest, I mean, not the greatest, right? But this is the first sin and the sin that caused all other sins right here. Why? Because we didn't know God's word, right? Well, doesn't this sound so familiar to somewhere else in the Bible? Where else did this happen? Jesus. Remember before Jesus starts his ministry after 40 days in the desert, what did Satan do? What did he do? He tries to twist God's word to the Savior, right? Are you hungry? Hey, make this bread. You know, this stone turn into bread, right? Hey, what did God say? He's not going to let your foot strike a stone, right? Well, jump off, right? God is going to save you. Exactly the same instance, right? But what man could not do and did not do, Christ did. Christ knew the word well enough that when the enemy tried to twist the word, he threw it right back and he said, No, there's no way I'm going to do this. I'm not going to test my God. And so, if there's any reason that I can give you to know God's word, this would be probably the greatest one. Because of them not knowing God's word and keeping it, the rest of mankind falls, right? That is probably one of the biggest reasons I can say. If we don't know God's word, we don't know the ramifications of what our sin is and what's going to happen. And so, really, we really should know it. Now, the second thing I kind of want to bring up here is this, right? Not only does he twist God's word, he makes them believe that God is a bad God, that God is holding out on them. So what does he say in verse 5? For God knows that in the day that you eat from it, that your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Basically, he's saying this. God doesn't want you to eat because he knows if you eat it, you know, you're going to know what he knows. And he doesn't want you to know that. He wants you to suffer in your ignorance. He doesn't want you to have this understanding. He wants to lord over you and be God. You know, he doesn't want this goodness for you. And you know what? He makes them believe it so much that they choose to do what they think is right in this instance, which is take of the fruit, right? How often does this happen to us too, right? God, you know, what do we pray for? God, give me this, right? Give me wealth. God, give me a spouse. God, Will you help me in this situation, right? And then when it doesn't happen right away, or if God doesn't give it to us, what do? God, you don't love me. God, you don't listen to my prayers. Right? Is that true? Does God not listen to us? Which really brings me to something really interesting, right? What could have Adam and Eve done with what Satan told them? Right? I mean, obviously what they did was they went to the tree and they ate of it. But what could they have done differently instead of doing so, you know, when Satan tempted them? And much like so, I think partly when we kind of do these things, it's of our own sinful nature. But, you know, there's spiritual attack as well, right? We recognize that in Ephesians 6, for our fight is not flesh and blood, against the flesh and blood, but against the principalities and the evilness and the darkness of this world. We know that. What did they do? They went for their own way. They chose to believe that God wasn't good for them, and they said, okay, I'm going to take of the fruit. But it's interesting, because remember, they haven't sinned yet, right? In the garden, they haven't sinned yet. They were still in perfect harmony with God. They were still in perfect union with each other and with God. And instead of sinning, you know what they could have done? They could have said this, okay? Satan is here telling them, okay, hey, you know, the fruit's not bad for you, right? You should eat it. Instead of saying, oh, yeah, that's true. They could have did this. Hey, God, is this true? This guy over here is telling me that this is, you know, you're bad for me and you don't want this for me. Is this true? Do you want me not to know? Hey, and if they wanted to know, God, can you teach it to me? Can you tell me the difference between good and evil? I don't know. I don't want to presume what God would have done, right? But I think in God's goodness and his wisdom, he could have taught them everything they wanted to know. He would have told them about Satan. He would have told them about maybe Satan's fall, whatever the case may be. But in his wisdom, he would have given them everything that they needed to satisfy them instead of them having to go to this fruit. And so as God's people, we really should get into the habit of this, right? When we get into difficulty, when we get into a place where we're in want or we feel like God's not good for us, what do? We should make sure that the first person we go to is not our friends, right? The first person we go to is not our own plans, or thing we go to is not our own plans. The first thing we should go to is God. God, you know, why is this happening? Can you tell me? Can you show me? Lord, can you give me your wisdom in this situation? God, is there a reason why this isn't happening yet? Instead of being like, God, give me a spouse. Okay, nothing happens. Okay, well, I'm going to go find my own. And this is something that, I mean, I've got to go on a bit of a tangent here, and I know relationships is a difficult thing and whatnot, and we don't understand why it's not happening, all these sort of things. It's not anyone's fault. But you know, there are so many people that, and this is a very big thing, right? Where they'll say, God, give me a spouse, right? God, where is this somebody for me, right? And then you know what happens? Whether it's Satan tempts them and says, God doesn't want one for you, right? God doesn't have one for you. Or out of our own impatience or out of our own lack of faith or whatever the case it is, we go and we find one. And most importantly, we find one that's a non-Christian, right? And think about this, right? And I'm now married for 4 years. I've been with Steph for 11, 12 years now, a long time. Okay, and let me share something with you, right? Steph loves the Lord. She loves God. Absolutely loves God, right? And there were times in our relationship where she was definitely, like, when she was, like, with God and I was, like, a heathen, right? Like, and then there were also times when I really felt like God was doing something in my life where she was also trying to, you know, reconcile what God's doing and whatnot. And this is in a relationship where both of us love God and we're trying to live for God. But there are still times when we struggle, where one of us hears from God and the other hasn't yet. And it's so difficult. Why is it difficult? Because God may have said to one of us, okay, I need you to do this, right? And she'll come to me, right, and she'll be like, Ricky, I heard this from God, right? And because of my selfishness, or I'll hear something from God, and because out of her selfishness, she's like, no, I don't want to do it. You know, I don't want to do it. No, let's not move there. Let's not go there, right? And you guys know, right, when God gives you an inkling in your heart, when he tells you to do something, you want to do it, right? You want to because God's speaking to you. And not only do you want to do it, you know it's good for you. But when your spouse doesn't want to do it, well, one, you kind of walk in sin, right? Because delayed obedience is disobedience is, and delayed obedience really is sin, right? It's disobedience. And this is coming from a Christian couple, right? Now, can you imagine you're dating someone and you're with someone who doesn't have the values of God, who doesn't know God, and God's saying this, okay, you know, Genevieve, I want you to give all your money away to do something, right? To further my kingdom. And you're with somebody and you're married to somebody who doesn't have God's values. What's going to happen? No, I don't know this God, right? Obviously, I'm kind of worst case scenario. Maybe they'll say yes, right? But the likeliness of them saying yes and obeying God is not very good. So basically what you're doing is when you're choosing to be with someone that is unequally yoked, is you're saying this, one, God, you don't know what's better for me. Two, I don't trust that you're going to bring me somebody that is going to be equally yoked with me. And three, you're choosing a life that is going to be more difficult for yourselves, based on your lack of understanding and your trust in God, or my trust in God, right? We can't see what's in front of us. And I'm telling you this as a married person now, as a pastor with a wife who loves God, right? Trust me, even as two people who love God, it's still difficult. Jackie will tell you this, I'm sure, right? I'm not saying cadence or anything like that, right? I'm just saying it's difficult. Two people who love God need to learn to work together. And still, there's difficulty in an argument. But trust me, if you're dating someone or with somebody that doesn't know God, it's near impossible. And I'm not saying God can't turn them and whatnot, but that's the exception, not the reality. And so trust God. Wait. Pray to Him. Look to Him. And if God is speaking to you about, hey, this is maybe not the best thing for you, don't go on your own way. You do not understand, or we cannot understand, the depth of what our disobedience and lack of understanding of our situation can bring us to, much like Adam and Eve. So I'll just end there. There's something else I want to talk about. Let me just end here. So let me ask Jeff to come on. So let's close our eyes, right? If there's anything that I would hope that you can take away from this morning, is this. Cultivate a desire to know God's Word. And I know, you know, I was talking to some friends of mine, right? And, you know, they'll say, you know, I don't like reading God's Word. I don't like it because I don't get anything from it. Which may be true, right? But let me give you a quick idiom that I really learned from, right? In basketball, right? Every shot you don't take is a shot you miss every single time. You cannot score if you don't take that shot. Well, in the same way, every word of God you don't read is a word you cannot get revelation from. Same thing. If you don't read God's Word, there is zero chance that you'll get revelation from His Word. But if you at least read it, even if you don't get it, you know, 99 times out of the 100, the one time you get it, it's going to be revelation. And it's going to change your life. And why do we need to know it? Well, one, because we want to honor God. And because His ways are better than ours. That's Psalm 119, 9 and 11. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word I have stored in my heart that I might not sin against you. But not just about sinning against God, but knowing how to live our lives, knowing that God has the best for us. And part of that knowing is through knowing His word and seeing God's goodness and faithfulness throughout the entire Bible. And so let's pray this morning. Let's ask God, God, help me know your word. God, will you bring me revelation when I read? And even when I don't, God, help me understand that the simple act of me reading Your word helps me store it in my heart. Help me remember it, Lord. So let's sing for the worship God and ask for His Spirit to come to help us understand His word.
You sing all around.
pray, first of all, if you're dating a non-Christian, you know, I wasn't trying to make you feel bad or anything like that. You know, and if you are, come talk to me. Because I recognize it is difficult. And I'd love to pray for you. I'd love to pray for, you know, your significant other if that's the case. But for the rest of us, let's really pray. Let's really ask God to change our attitude toward His Word and His laws. You know, when God set up the Garden of Eden, and when He gives us the Bible and His regulations and His laws, it's not to keep us from anything. Rather, it's to protect us. It's not to keep us from experiencing the goodness of the world. It's to give us boundaries so we can experience them well. And so let's ask God to help us to look at His Word that way. That when He tells us no, or when He tells us not yet, it's because He loves us. And let's also take this time to really thank Him. God, thank You that You love me enough to give me boundaries. That You love me enough to protect me from the things that I really should not be doing, or the things that You know are bad for me. So let's thank Him. Attention to our community. Let's pray for those who are suffering from cancer and cancer-related issues. Let's really pray and speak Isaiah 53 over our friends, that by His scourging, in light of Easter Sunday, that by His resurrection and by the sin being pressed upon Jesus, we can be healed. So let's really pray in faith and with power that our friends not only will be healed, but that God will really touch them. So let's really pray. For those in our community, both needing salvation and also needing physical healing, let's really pray that God opens their eyes and their hearts, and also brings healing over them as well. Thank you. pray for those in our community suffering from non-cancer related illnesses. Let's really pray for healing over them. Let's pray that God removes any pain or discomfort. Let's pray for wisdom over the caregivers to be able to give them the best treatments, just wisdom and peace over their families as they're going through this difficult time. Jobs. Let's really pray that God covers them. Let's really pray that God opens opportunities to them, that His favor be upon them as well. Let's really pray for physical, spiritual, and emotional protection over them as they've been looking for, especially for those who've been looking for work for a while. But let's really pray for God's blessing and providence to be over them as well. Let's really pray. Turn our eyes to mission focus. Let's really pray for China. Let's pray for SP Beijing. Let's pray for God's continual covering over the church, as they are in a lot of warfare, you know, and they are in a place where open worship really is not allowed. So let's really pray for Pastor Sam Kim and Chris and their families. Let's pray for Jesse, who's our missionary in China. Let's pray for the Chong family, Matt and Nate's parents, who are also missionaries there. Edie Clark and the churches that are in China. Let's really pray that God really breaks open that place, that it becomes a God-fearing nation. Let's pray. Let's lift up our board. Let's really pray for P. Sam and Lisa, Janie, Kiwan, Brian, Sandro, Max, and Monica. Let's really pray for God's covering over them and their families, His protection over their relationships and their work. Let's really pray for God's wisdom over them as well, for God to really give them His directions and His inklings for where to take SP. So let's really pray for them. Please lift up our hospitality ministries, welcoming in Barista. We're currently going through a bit of an overhaul, or we're about to. And so if you could really pray that God's wisdom will really come over the leaders. You can pray for myself and pray for Bonnie. Pray for all those who serve, that they'll be refreshed to be able to serve with just God's anointing over them. Let's really pray for those that come, the newcomers in the church, that they will feel welcomed by those serving in these ministries. But let's really pray for more people to come and join in serving the church in this way as we prepare for three services. lift up the men's and women's ministry. Let's lift up the Monday morning prayer group with the men's ministry and the Pure Desire group as well. Let's lift up the women's ministry and Yama and Yamama. Let's pray for the leaders, Kenny, Sandro, Tyler, and Amanda. Let's really pray that God gives them wisdom as to how to lead these ministries and to disciple men and women of God. For the retreat, let's really pray for Pastor Benjamin. Let's ask for protection over him as and his logistics and whatnot as he prepares to come and brings a word to us. So we pray for his entire team that will be coming, that will be easy for them to get here and whatnot. So pray for the logistics of getting the entire church there. Pray for Bonnie and Monica as they really work hard for us as a church to prepare for this retreat. Pray for that God's presence is already there in Nansha, you know, preparing the way. Pray that he's going to really meet with us. And let's pray for the unity of the churches that will be there as we'll be having our plans as well. And as one for me, I would say, let's really pray for our own hearts. Pray for our house churches. Let's pray for each other that we'll be preparing to meet with God as we go to the retreat. Father, your word tells us, Lord, in Psalm 119, God, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. Your word I have kept in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Psalm 1, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, for his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on that law he meditates day and night. God, help us know your word. God, help us meditate on it. God, help us recognize the goodness of your word. And help us recognize, Lord, that through your word, God, you are expressing the deepest of love to us. So God, we thank you this morning. We thank you, Lord, that we can know it, Lord, and that your spirit will reveal it to us. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God that loves us, that you are a God that speaks to us, God, a God that protects us, and a God that wants the best for us, Lord. So God, I pray for my friends here this morning. I ask, God, that you will continue to reveal your revelations to them in their hearts, and to show them, God, your revelations, God, in their lives. Lord, I pray for covering over them. Lord, I pray against backlash. Lord, I pray that you will bless them today, God, and that you will bless their socks off. Bless them in their workplaces. Bless them in their relationships. Bless them in their ministries. And most of all, God, bless them in their relationship with you, that they may come to know you, God, so intimately, Lord. So we thank you, God. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless you guys. Enjoy your time of worship. We'll see you back tomorrow.